1930s, researchers in Florida and research in Michigan separately decided to put primary effluent into natural wetlands to see what would happen. And amazingly enough, the water that came out was stripped of a lot of the excess nutrients and the excess bacteria that were going into that with the effluent. Since that time, wetlands have been created across our country for treatment of primary and secondary effluent, and this makes for wonderful areas in Southern California, particularly for our nice waterfowl to migrate up the coast, particularly when we have such degradation of our natural wetlands. However, as this crowd also knows, it's a very great habitat for mosquitoes to breed in, and I know I don't have to tell this crowd about how we need to control mosquitoes because they are such a nuisance in Southern California, as well as they are pestiferous vectoring diseases. With the advent of Silent Spring, we of course have been pressured to reduce our impact on the environment through use of chemical and biological pesticides. And society has really been trying to pressure us to get away from making such a big impact as we did earlier in the last century. Usually we use Gambusia affinis, the mosquito fish, to try and help out and control mosquitoes. And this larvivorous fish has been greatly used with across this country. However, it does have the negative impacts of degrading our natural fish populations by outcompeting them because it does breed all year round. Our lab has been particularly interested with Gila orchidae. It's the arroyo chub and is a species of special concern in California. This is because of the fact that it is only native to four river systems in San Diego, Riverside, and Los Angeles counties. It is found in both the fast-flowing parts of the streams as well as the backwater pools, and we thought that this would make it a great addition to use instead of Gambusia. Previous work in our lab by Alex Van Dam, who's currently at Davis, found that Gila was as effective as Gambusia in an unvegetated system. When you throw them out into a bunch of wading pools and you don't have any vegetation in there, Gila can gobble up just as many larvae as Gambusia can. We also have found by David Popko, who's a technician in our lab, that Gambusia is relatively ineffective in a very vegetated system, and this is because Gambusia will not swim between the vegetation stands. We do also know from the natural history of Gila, the arroyo chub, that it is more tolerant of hypoxic water than other proposed replacement species. And this is important when you're looking at wastewater treatment wetlands because they do have algal blooms that drive down the amount of oxygen that's in the water. So the objectives of this study were to see, of course, is Gila a good replacement for the mosquito fish when it comes to a vegetated wetland system? And because I'm actually coming from a background of aquatic invertebrate ecology, I also wanted to see what happens to the rest of the invertebrates that are in that community. I won't be talking much about that today, but I will mention it a little bit at the end. Our study design is this took place at the UCR Aquatic Research Facility in 12 4x7 meter squared ponds. We used two vegetation patterns that you can see on the screen and three vegetation plot sizes. A single pot of the Xenoplectus californicus, the California bulrush, is about a tenth of a meter squared plot, and we had 12 of those in each of the wetlands. That's not what I wanted to do. We also had a 4 meter plot size, which were four pots pushed together, and a 0.9 meter plot size, which were nine pots pushed together. This was repeated in 12 ponds, six having each pattern, and if you were one of those waterfowl that were trying to get up the coast, you would see something like this if you flew low over the wetlands. We then added about 30 grams of fish into six of these ponds, three with each vegetation pattern, and that roughly equated to being 20 to 30 fish per pond. We took four dip samples per vegetation plot size each time we went out to sample, and we sampled before we put the fish in early October, then after we put the fish in, then February, March, early and late April, and May. We actually continued to sample throughout the summer, but these are the samples that have already been processed, and those are the ones you guys care about. This was analyzed using SAS, and to get right to the point, we did find a significant reduction in the mosquitoes that were in a fish pond. Those are the blue diamonds versus the fishless ponds, the red squares. It is about half a reduction, so there's about half as many mosquitoes in a fish pond as there are in a fishless pond. We didn't find a difference between the vegetation patterns, but we did find a difference between the vegetation plot sizes. So in this plot, the green triangles are the smallest plot size, those blue squares are the medium, and the red diamonds are the largest. And we found that the middle plot size had significantly more mosquitoes than the smallest plot size. However, neither of those is significantly different from the largest plot size, which is a little bit of a curious conundrum when you're trying to figure out what exactly is going on. As we did go through the system, we did look at all the other invertebrates, and most of the major other invertebrates that are sampled in these ponds are large dragonflies, echinids, and libellulids. We also have mayflies in here and a lot of chironomids. However, we didn't see any significant difference between fish and fishless ponds, even in the total numbers when we're going through. So future work that is going to be done is we are going through and trying to see whether there actually is complete control of the mosquitoes as we move through the summer growing season and more culex are being laid and breeding out of these ponds. We also have the goal of releasing Gila into a natural wetlands after this. This is the Prado wetlands on the Santa Ana River, and these wetlands are currently being restored. They were washed out in the mudslides of 2005, and we're looking forward to the Orange County Water District taking Gila off of our hands and putting them into their wetlands. There are, of course, many people to thank for this. Mostly the funding sources are very important, the UC Mosquito Research Program, the Department of Entomology, and the Pacific Branch for bringing me to this meeting. Lots of folks who helped me dig up all those plants, and to especially the undergrads, Peter, Janelle, and Jonathan. They spent many hours sitting in front of the microscope looking through all those samples and trying to figure out what those bugs were. And with that, I know I have plenty of time for questions.
Yes. There are plenty of time for questions.
Steve.
Are your fish large enough that they can take something like a dragonfly in as a prey item?
Are the fish large enough to take... Right. So the question is, are the fish large enough to take actually a dragonfly out? They would probably take the smallest ones out. So the fish seem to range from, you know, absolutely nothing to the largest ones that we picked out. We just picked out our fish. They're about 5 inches long, and their mouth probably isn't big enough to pick up the largest echinids, but they would be able to pick up some of the smaller ones. So there should be a good interaction going on between those, and hopefully we can tease that out between the fish and fishless ponds. Yes. Right. So the question is, what were the species of mosquitoes that were there? Primarily, we have Culex tarsalis in these ponds. There are a few quinks, and that we also have a few stigmatosoma. But it's primarily Culex. I think I have like one Anopheles that I've picked up ever out of those ponds. Was there a preference between, you know, what we found? We mostly found some smaller, the second and third instar Culex for the most part. I've picked up a few pupae, but it's been very small. And whether that's actually coming from control or not, remains to be seen. So, yes, sorry, behind you, he raced first. Yes.
Why do you think that is?
Why do I think there's a difference between small and medium plot size? I think that we're actually getting the other part of the story is that there's been some frogs that have moved into the ponds as well, they didn't move in until April. So I'm thinking that they may have had an interaction with the fish and with the dragonflies. We did see more dragonflies in both the medium and the largest plot sizes, but not the small plot sizes, and I think they have may have had another impact on having another predator in there as well. Larger amounts of the mosquito larvae to be in the medium plot sizes? Yes. So in our studies that David did, there were more mosquitoes in any type of plot size. He had 1 meter bands and 20 meter bands and small bands, and as long as there were a sufficient amount of vegetation in there, it seemed there were more mosquitoes that liked to breed in there. It just gave them more protection from predators that were swimming around. In the back.
One more quick question.
Last one.
When did you give your fish food?
Where did we get the fish to do the studies? That's a good question. I unfortunately don't know that. By the time I got there, we already had a stocking pond going. But Bill Walton is here somewhere. He may not be here this morning. You can ask Bill. He's sitting across. There you go. I knew about the permits. I just didn't know where they came from. Thank you.